Good morning, brothers and sisters, and any visitors we may have, and grateful for you being here today. My kid brother, who I think normally teaches the class, is out of town. I don't know where he's at. Preaching somewhere, I'm sure. So he's asked me to fill in. I will do my best. This is a topic that somebody else probably should be leading. Wisdom. I'm always pursuing wisdom. I haven't caught it yet, but maybe when I get old enough, we'll see. We'll get started here in just a minute. If you would, we'll go ahead and bow our heads and say a prayer together, and then we'll go ahead and start our class. Our Father, we want to thank you for this glorious day, the beautiful first day of the week that we can come together as your children to look into your word, to recognize that you speak to us, and Father, to do our best to worship you from our hearts. We pray that all the things that we do will be in accordance with your word, that will be uplifting and encouraging to us, and mostly that we honor you from our hearts, Father, in all that we do, and do so in a way that pleases you. We're mindful of others in our family that may not be able to be with us due to travel, sickness, other issues. We just pray, Father, that you'll bless and be with them as well, and we pray you'll help us to continue to be your servants here and work together as a family, and help this be a good day for us. Pray a blessing now on our study, in Jesus' name, amen. We are studying communicating with God. I'll take just a quick minute to review some of the previous things that have been talked about in our communication with God. I think the first lesson was kind of the idea of why is this important to understand? What is communication, right? Communication involves speaking and listening. And if we look at our own lives, communication is very important in our family relationships and our marriages, in our interactions with our children, in interactions with people. Interacting and communicating with God maybe looks a little bit different. How is our interactions and our communication with God different than it might be with our families? Obviously. I hadn't come up with that, but that's perfectly correct, Rob. Hopefully it's a little more respectful than our relationship sometimes with our own children. God has never directly spoke to me where I've been able to interact and talk back and forth with him. That doesn't mean he doesn't communicate with us. So he has provided for us everything that we need in our spiritual lives and even in our physical lives, and he communicates with us in various ways. So some of the things that we've talked about was hearing from God usually involves looking into his word. In the past, he would use prophets, he would use angels. He still communicates with us through the written word today. And that's probably the main priority that we look at when we come together and focus on our studies here. If we're doing it right, we're opening up the scriptures, looking to see what God has to say to us. In the next couple weeks, I think we'll talk more about our communication with God. We talk to God if we're doing it right on a regular basis. It should be a two-way communication that we listen and we speak to him too. The lesson we're going to be looking at is the idea of pursuing wisdom and God communicating to us through wisdom and ways that we get wisdom. So the passages we have are in Proverbs, the book of James, Romans, and Matthew. God has put wisdom into the world for us through not only his word, but through his creation, we can see. And the circumstances that we interact with, in other people that we interact with, God provides the opportunity for us to obtain wisdom. I know we only have a few passages in Proverbs that were on our assigned reading, but I think the book even mentions the first 8 or 9 chapters out of the book of Proverbs are just fantastic. If you've not taken the time to go through and read through that on the idea of wisdom. And not just for your class, but I would encourage any of you that are parents, make that something that you sit down and study and read with your children. Same idea with the book of Ecclesiastes. Obvious question, maybe, who is the penman who wrote down the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes? Solomon. In what fashion would Solomon be qualified to write to us anything about wisdom? Okay. God gave him wisdom. And I guess just to follow up, why did God give him wisdom? That's what he asked for, which is a pretty good lesson for us as well. Maybe we don't just look at it and say, I have to obtain wisdom. Maybe that's why I don't have as much as I need to. I need to ask God for wisdom. So I was just going to take a quick moment before we get into our passages in 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 9. This is where that event happens. It says, therefore, give to your servant, this is Solomon speaking to God, an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. I've also given you what you have not asked for, both riches, honor, so that there shall be not anyone like you among the kings. Riches and honor, so there may not be anyone like you that among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So God not only blesses him with wisdom, but blesses him with many other physical things that he didn't ask for. I was blessed with the opportunity to do a study with some of the young men from the congregation a couple months back, and we studied the book of Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes goes through and talks a whole lot about the idea of wisdom, but it also talks about some of the things that God blessed Solomon with. Solomon asked God for wisdom, but did he always use it wisely? The fact that we might be blessed with wisdom does not automatically mean we do everything the right way, because Solomon also pursued a lot of things that maybe he should not have. The idea of, I'm going to pursue wisdom. And I think some of that wasn't just the idea of godly wisdom. I want to be a really smart, knowledgeable person. I want to have all the things. I want all the toys. God gave him money. I want a bunch of wives. All the things that it says that he went after and pursued were not necessarily with the right idea or the right motive. And he looks at some of this and... The book of Ecclesiastes, he points out for us through God's wisdom. I think Solomon was greatly qualified to write the book of Ecclesiastes. Who can talk about the idea of having all the world money in the world doesn't really matter? Solomon, because he had all the money in the world. Who can talk about the idea of having the ability to do anything that he wanted and obtaining all the possessions that he wanted and all the servants? Solomon. All of these things he could look at afterwards and say, these are vanity. And the idea even of pursuing wisdom is vanity without what? Without God, right? I will never be the smartest man in the world, but even if I could, it doesn't do me any good if that's all there is. And God tells us in the New Testament, if I could own the entire world and lose my soul, doesn't do me any good. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, it's interesting because Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom in guiding God's children. And when he forgot that, is when he forgot that God gave him the wisdom to guide those people, so when he started messing up.
That's right. No, good point. With the right motive and the right attitude on things of why we're trying to have wisdom and what it's for, That's the idea. Not just, it's not about us. It's not a selfish thing. So, yeah, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he says, verse 12, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven, this burdensome task God has given to the sons of man, by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understanding, great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. Again, God gave him wisdom, but once you get away from what God intends you to use the wisdom for, and you looking at saying, look at me and look at what my knowledge or my wisdom has attained, will get you in the wrong direction. So again, I know I keep telling you we're going to start our passage, as we are. Don't laugh at me. Somebody give me a definition of wisdom. I think that's important. If we're going to say, let's talk about wisdom, what would a good definition of wisdom be? Rob.
I've always thought of it as knowledge plus experience.
Knowledge plus experience. Okay, and yes?
The ability to appropriately utilize knowledge.
Okay. I think those are both great. Anybody else? I definitely think that's true, and I think those could be true even without the idea of a godly version of this, right? One of the things I also looked up that I liked, the ability to discern or judge what is true and right and lasting. And that's got a little bit more of a spiritual idea to it, the idea of truth on something, because there's lots of types of knowledge. A person can gain knowledge in their craft or their job or their ability from experience. What is the saying? Measure twice, cut once. How many of us have learned that the wrong way, right? You can gain wisdom in lots of different areas through experience. God gives us a way to learn wisdom without having to experience and do everything the wrong way first. That, to me, is the idea of learning wisdom. The thing I think it's important to remember is the creator of the universe that made all things and that made me has provided for me an instruction manual on how to live. And if I want to get to a destination, it's important that I know where the destination is. Not just, I'm just going to go try driving all these different places and see if I get to where I want to be. If I know where I want to get to, and God says, here's a roadmap, that's going to save me a whole lot of going down the wrong path. What are those little games, the maze thing, where you start on one side or you got to work all the way through and get to the other side? I don't like those things because I usually go down the wrong way several times before I get back. If we know which path to follow, thy word is a light unto my feet, right? God gives us the path and he gives us the light and we know which way to go. So I'm talking a lot. Any comments before I actually get to our class? Sorry. Yes, sir.
Well, I think one of the things that we need to understand, by definition, as has already been said, wisdom is the application of knowledge. And so without knowledge, there is no wisdom. And that puts the responsibility, I guess, on us. If we want to be wise, then we have to devote ourselves to proper study and learning in order to be able to apply that.
Okay. And the other part, that's correct. The other part that would go along with that is what knowledge, right? Can we have sources for information that are incorrect? We got lots of sources for information in the world right now that are incorrect on things. if we're listening to the wrong source, we're going to get the wrong knowledge, we're going to get the wrong conclusion. So again, if we know where we're trying to go and God says, here's the information, and we listen to it, we're going to attain wisdom. That's the idea. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, on that same note, you know, it's interesting. As I've grown spiritually, I tend to think of wisdom as, you know, knowing God closer, the fear of God. And I don't know if this is true necessarily, but sort of that there really isn't worldly wisdom. There's just really smart people in the world. And wisdom is really for the understanding and knowing God. And I don't know if that's true.
I appreciate that. That's well said. Yes, sir, Bob.
Going along with that, Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen. I've got that same passage written here. That's right. So we can look at the world or people that would say, oh, he's so wise. Look at how wise this person is. Do they believe in the Lord? No. Okay, then don't use the word wisdom in front of me. They may have lots of knowledge, but if they don't start with the right idea and go to the right location and get the right conclusion, that's not wisdom. Maybe it's worldly wisdom in some fashion, but it's not God's wisdom. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good. Any of the young men that were in the study we did, what is the conclusion of the matter at the end of Ecclesiastes? Fear the Lord and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man, right? Get that right and you're going to be fine. So, Rob. Good. No, I appreciate that. I didn't mention that, but that's correct. We studied that, the idea of meditation and putting that in our hearts. Yes, David?
The other cool thing about God's wisdom is that it predates the creation. It's from eternity. So I find that, you know, we can see the conclusion of the matter, but we also understand that it predates.
That's right. And if you read some of our passages, When wisdom is personified in our study and it's talking about, I was with God before the foundations of the world were laid. I was with God when they were laid. It almost sounds like one of the deities, right? It's like there was God and the Holy Spirit and the Lord and wisdom. So it's not really a person, but God and wisdom are pretty closely linked together. Everything that he did in the creation, everything that he's done in our lives, wisdom was involved in his plan, right? And once, if we don't recognize that and see that, we're going to end up in the wrong path and in the wrong place in the end. So I'm going to stop and actually start our class now on the passages we have because we won't get through it all. Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gate in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel, would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes with like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So our question says, where is wisdom and what might this mean in more specific terms for the first part of this? So comments, where is wisdom?
Well, if wisdom is anywhere where God is, but, you know, I think it's interesting because when it, you know, it sounds like wisdom is everywhere, which it is, but there, like we've been talking about, there's the right wisdom, but, and it's available for anybody that will listen, anybody that will pay attention to what true wisdom is from God.
Great. Yeah. It's everywhere and it's available readily. Yes, ma'am.
On that same note, it's out there, it's public, it's available, and kind of a lesson we talk to our kids about, hearing versus listening. Like, it's out there, they're probably hearing it, but they're not everyone is listening to it and for it.
Good. That's right. So, and I think that's part of what this passage is getting at is, I am here. I'm available. Listen to me. This isn't God speaking these words. This is supposed to be wisdom. But behind this is God. God wants us to gain wisdom. God wants us to get understanding. And it's available if we will pay attention and look to the right sources. This is not a hidden treasure that you have to be a rocket scientist and dig in thousands of different books to come up with what does God want us to do. God tells us what he wants us to do. God wants us to be wise, not for any purpose other than for our own good. God wants all the things that God gives us instruction on isn't for him. It's for us. So listen. Pay attention. Yes, ma'am. No, that's that's right. I appreciate that. Not everything is wisdom. There's lots of noise out there. There's lots of people saying lots of things. We need to be discerners, and we'll get to that. But that's correct. The idea of here is wisdom is readily available if we want it. Pay attention. Yes, Joel.
I don't know if I'm remembering this right, but it mentions Tabalna at the gates, and at the gates is that where usually elders would congregate and talk about wisdom. So it kind of points to who can we go and listen to, who can we go and learn from.
No, that is correct. I think that was often a place that was probably where their caribou was located, right? I'm just kidding. It was the idea of where some of the wise men maybe would sit and people would see them coming in and out and going. So, good. The second part of this, what seems to be things that will hinder one from hearing wisdom? What stops us from hearing wisdom? If it's so readily available, what do you guys put? Randy.
So, you mentioned Ecclesiastes a couple times. Those of us who studied that, if you remember, you know, Solomon is looking at life under the sun, how it's vanity, it's folly without God in the picture, right? This passage here in Proverbs is a call to seek after wisdom, but the last half of that, to your question, is if we're not seeking after wisdom with God in mind, with God in the picture, we're seeking the wrong thing, and we're going to find the wrong thing.
Good. No, that's right. Leaving God out of it. Yes, ma'am.
Verse 22 starts out, how long
Good, good. Rachel and then Lisa. Okay, and Lisa. Good. Charity.
And on that same note, you know, they spur reproof. They don't want to be told that they don't know and they're not listening.
Good. All of those things are absolutely right. Yes.
I think 29 says it most directly. They did not, I don't know if it's called this, because they did not choose to fear the Lord. And we know that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
It's a choice, right? I want to follow the Lord. I want to get to the right place. I'm going to listen to the right people. I want to hear. Somebody raised their hand over here. Yes?
Verse 32 uses the word complacency, so we kind of can get this false sense of security.
That's right. That's right. Was somebody hand up over here? Okay. No.
And if you're not willing to change, the
wisdom isn't for me. Good. In the parable of the sower talks about that idea. You can still hear something and say, nah, don't want to hear that. Some of the stuff I put down here is attitude, right? We don't want to hear from wisdom. You really have to not want to hear it if you're going to ignore it. Because it's available. God's put it out there. And it can be my attitude. The idea of simple or naive, what was mentioned, that idea comes down to not looking deeply or discerningly at something. I'm not gonna look into it. I'll just shrug my shoulders at it. The idea of scorners, attitude, haters of true knowledge, that's foolish. Refusing to hear wisdom call, disregarding help or counsel when it's offered. Don't tell me, don't advise me, I'll figure this out on my own. That's the idea of foolishness. If somebody can help you do something and avoid a problem, and it's good advice, listen, right? Learn from somebody else's mistakes or from instruction. You don't have to experience all the stupid things yourself to say, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. That's the idea of wisdom. And God helps us to avoid those things without going down those paths. So, anything else, Rob? And then... That's right.
That's not
the parable of the two sons where his father said, go and do this. I'm not gonna. But later on, he rethought about it, and he went and did it, right? Sometimes we got to get past our stubborn attitude. Bob, you had your hand up.
Do not be wise in your own eyes. Make sure you seek counsel, even if you think you might have the right view. You may not.
That's right. Good. And honestly, I'll just tell my thoughts with you. This class setup where we all put our thoughts into something, there's a lot of wisdom in this audience. Rather than me get up here and just tell you my thoughts on things, I gain so much when we do this and everybody's putting in input. And honestly, that's a good thing anytime we're studying the Bible. This is... my thoughts on this, what do you see here? I think that helps all of us to gain more because it's not just one person's limited brain looking at some of this. So, Randy.
Yeah, one of the good examples is when Paul was in Athens and talking to the wise people in Areopagus. You know, until he gave them the context of this, the unknown God, they didn't see that perspective.
Okay.
And he won a lot of people. Explain to God you don't know created the head.
Good.
You know, so that's important.
Good. The third part of this question, it says, what other important lessons do you find here concerning the pursuit of wisdom? Anybody have anything else to add here?
Well, this whole section is very personal. Like, it's very, like, you neglected it. You know, it's your calamity. It's your dread. We each have to choose to do... to listen to the wisdom and actually use the wisdom, or else it's on us.
Good. I couldn't have said it better. Yes, ma'am.
There's a natural endpoint to when this gift of wisdom is going to run out. And at that point, wisdom doesn't care if you took it or not. And I make that kind of connection when it comes to the judgment day. Like, we have this endless amount of grace that God has given us. But at the end of time, God said, here's my endpoint. It's done when it's done. And I think it's kind of the same with wisdom. Like, you're going to cry about it. You're going to be upset. But look at all these opportunities you have.
Harsh. That is harsh. But it's so true. This idea here where it talks about wisdom is going to laugh at you when calamity comes and something bad happens and it's like, I'm out. You had your opportunity to do this and you didn't. Again, this isn't God saying I'm not willing to help you. Wisdom is something that we need to have when the moment comes. And you can't last minute when everything bad happens say, what would wisdom do here? Well, wisdom wouldn't have gone down this path, you moron. It would have, right? Wisdom is something that you use to steer your path ahead of time so you don't get into those things. Once you're in the pickle, wisdom isn't going to help you a whole lot. So, did you have your hand up?
I did.
Okay.
With what you said, I'm trying to think of a way to, like, say it. But
just say it.
Basically, like we're saying, verses 26 and 27, calamity's coming. It's kind of wisdom setting things right. And if you're around those people, it's very dangerous. So wisdom also helps us see who to surround ourselves with.
Good. Good. Yes, Janae, and then Sam.
When I read the Proverbs, it always points me back. Like, I go back to Psalm 139 and just God's perfect knowledge of man and the intimacy and just that relationship if you choose to have that with him. But the last couple verses, 23 through 4, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and keep me in the way everlasting. Like, God will do that for you. God will do that for all of us if we choose to hear and meditate and dwell on his words and just really, like, are honest with ourselves and mean, like, search my heart, which is such a scary thought, and, you know, see if there's any wicked way in me, just what you were saying a couple minutes ago about, like, where's our attitude at, or are we prideful, or are we not being humble about these things? We just, I don't know, I always seem to, after I've read through the Proverbs, I go back and read Psalm 139, because I feel like they compare so well with one another.
Good. No, thank you very much. Sam, you had your hand up? Just go along with it. Yeah. And I think of the Old Testament passages, it's like we've got 400 prophets that are all saying this is the right thing to do, right? And he says, do we not have a prophet of the Lord among us, right? Can we at least ask the one guy that talks to the Lord and see what he says? So you don't just go along. What does God say? Yes, sir, and then we'll move on, Randy. I appreciate that. Good. Proverbs 2, 1 through 12. I better start or we're going to run out of complete time. You know what? I'm not even going to read it because that'll take us a couple minutes. So if you read 2, 1 through 12, what are some of the promises you can find in this passage that you wrote down or would like to share with the class?
That as we gain wisdom, we will really start to understand God's righteousness and justice.
Okay.
And understand what that looks like, and that justice isn't ours, that it's his.
Good.
If we're earnestly pursuing wisdom will preserve us.
Good. If we pursue wisdom, we can attain it, and it will preserve us, right? So there's a benefit in getting it too. Rob?
The opposite of the people who are shunning wisdom, it says that in verse 10, wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will lighten. So there's a benefit even beyond figuring out how to stay out of trouble.
That's right. It's not just a matter of I didn't get hurt, right? There's a final conclusion benefit of this. The other thing I put on here too, God gives wisdom through his mouth. So if we truly want to find wisdom, he is going to be the source of it, right? And that doesn't mean there aren't other worldly wisdoms that we can learn, and not everything out there is contrary to God's wisdom. There's sometimes when those things will overlap. But if we want true wisdom that's going to get us in the right, not just safely, but get to the right conclusion, it's got to be through God's mouth. Second part of this, what specifically are those promises contingent upon? Are there qualifiers in any of this? Yes, ma'am.
We have to look for God's word and wisdom, you know, and want it enough.
Good. If you're going to find treasure, you got to go look for it. Yes, ma'am.
It takes a lot of work. You have to receive it. You have to call for it. You have to seek it. You have to search for it. It's active.
Good. Yeah, you're not just going to stumble on it and say, oh, look, how did I end up in heaven, right? There's a seeking and a searching. Things I wrote down for the if part is if you incline your ear, if you apply your heart, if you seek and search, if you're upright, if you walk uprightly, if you're one of his saints, if wisdom enters your hearts. Those are some of the ifs. And if you do those things, you will understand the fear of the Lord. God will give you wisdom. You'll store up sound wisdom. You'll have a shield. You'll have a guard for the paths of justice. Your way will be preserved. You'll understand righteousness and justice. Knowledge will be pleasant. All of these things, there's some ifs and there's some conclusions. So it's definitely worth us recognizing there's a benefit to this. Yes, ma'am. And then you. Good. And again, just like we looked at in Ecclesiastes, Solomon had a whole lot of knowledge, not just wisdom, right? People would come from all over and he would tell them all kinds of stuff. And he was a botanist. He knew, you name it, right? Without God, none of that meant a thing. So there is a difference between knowledge and God's wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 4, we'll jump in there real quick. 4:1 through 13, what are some of the commands or directives in this text? Do I need to read it? Good. Benita, and then Joel. Great. Listen to your father. Gain these things. Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, you can attain wisdom, but you can also forsake it and walk away from it. It's warning us to not walk away from what we've learned, what we're called to do.
Remember what I told you, son, right? you can be given wisdom and just let it go if you don't work to retain it. Rob? Good. So there's probably more comments, but let me just ask real quick. What if mom and dad aren't wise? Does this still apply? Is this only listen to your parents if they're wise? What are your thoughts? Randy, and then...
Yeah. Well, we're instructed to listen to our parents, but when you get old enough, you have to be able to discern what they're saying. But again, you don't have the word of God or something to compare it against. You're just going to go off what they say, and it could be completely ungodly.
We got plenty of that in our society, don't we? This is how my parents did it. This is what I do, and it's wrong. Yeah. Charity?
Oh, I was going to say something similar. You know, I mean, listening to the Father is God, you know, so ultimately, you know, like Randy said, you know, you become a certain age where you have to figure out who to listen to, and ultimately, you know, and we know in Romans, you know, that we know that there's a God because of creation and everything else, so nobody, you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Randy?
I would go back to chapter 1 to answer that question. You know, wisdom calls aloud outside. You know, it's everywhere, as we've already discussed. So there's no excuse, really, for not seeking after it, whether your parents are wise or not.
That's right. Good. Yes, ma'am. No, that's good. What is that book? Is it the Bernstein Bears? You guys ever see that, where the father's trying to teach the little boy how to do something and everything he does is wrong, and the boy learns the lessons from his father making the mistakes? We want our children to listen to what we have to say. Even if we're ungodly parents, the idea of listening to a father is an important concept. Because God's going to be our father, and even once you get away from home, if you're under the idea of looking for an authority that's going to teach you the right thing, that's an important concept. I think there's an importance in us teaching our children, and there's sometimes when they're little and you say, do what I say, and they say, why, and it's because I told you so. Sometimes that's okay, but there needs to be some deeper learning, right? We need to understand, our kids need to understand, here's why this is important that we do this. And hopefully, they'll see the benefit of don't run in the street because the car can run over you. And if I say stop, I need you to stop, not just because I want to be in control, it's because it's for your own good. It's dangerous to give advice to people sometimes, right? I don't want to ever sit down with somebody and say, here's what I think you should do and do this and this, because I may have give them the wrong idea and point them in the wrong direction. If I'm really going to try and advise somebody in wisdom, where should I be pointing to? Right? What does God say? What does the scripture say on this? Is there something in here that we can learn from in how to think about this? With my children, with any of you, if you guys come to me and, Clayton, what do you advise me on this? I'm going to send you to Richard. But if I'm doing this right, I'm going to say, what does God say about this? And if we can get our children to look at this themselves and not just come to me or come to somebody else that may give them a bad advice, they're going to do fine. They're going to do fine. Anything else? I'm going to get our second bell here in just a second. Sorry we didn't get through all of this. There's a whole bunch of good stuff in here for the rest of this. James talks about the same idea, ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom, probably something that we don't do enough of. So we'll stop there. I think our bell's going to go in just a second. Thank you guys for the class, and somebody else can teach next time. So, thanks.